Sandy and I are very happy and thankful to be here. We bring Christian love and greetings from our daughter and son-in-law, Tammy and Dan Wessel, and, of course, Nathaniel, and all of the other members of the Albuquerque Bible Students Teleconference Ecclesia. The members of our class invite you to our 2017 convention planned for April 14 to 16, which is Easter weekend. And our scheduled speakers are brothers David Christensen, Tom Gilbert, Tom Rizzarello, and Rick Sarasi. You are all welcome and encouraged to attend. My topic today is godliness. As ingredients in the recipe of a master chef, or as accomplished musicians in a fine-tuned symphony, the Apostle Peter describes the proper spiritual combination of qualities that makes for a mature, fruit-bearing Christian. And we find that list in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 11. What is godliness? Our English word comes from the Greek word, eusebia, and is used in the New Testament to express the idea of inner piety or spirituality. Vine defines this word as piety, which, characterized by a Godward attitude, does that which is well-pleasing to him. Thus, there are two parts to godliness. First, there is the Godward attitude of reverence and respect. Second, there also is the doing of what is pleasing to God as the duty that we owe to him. As an attitude, godliness is the quality of the inner person that recognizes from the various evidences that the all-powerful Creator exists and therefore actively seeks to develop a spiritual relationship with Him. In 1 Timothy 4:8, this inner spirituality is to be preferred over physical bodily exercise. In verse 7, the exercises a godly man should engage in are those which develop further godliness. In 1 Timothy 6:11, godliness is set in contrast to following after the lusts of the flesh and the world. Godliness is a mindset on spiritual matters. Godliness as an attitude permeates all the Christian virtues that Peter lists, as it is the motivating factor behind our growth as Christians. We do not and cannot grow as Christians without first having the desire to be more spiritual, which is the attitude of godliness. Indeed, the graces of virtue, knowledge, and self-control, as well as of patience, must be inspired by godliness, so that the thought of God is brought unto them all, so that they begin and end with God. Godliness is required then for those who seek God and for those who want to be more like the divine nature. Godliness also has its fruits. There must be the doing of what pleases God. We must be careful, though, not to mistake the actions of some as actions of godliness. Morality alone is not godliness, as it may not be motivated by piety and reverence for God. Displays of spirituality or religion also may not be actions motivated by the desire to please God. Many in the denominational world do claim godliness and spirituality as their own. They appear godly by proudly wearing crosses, WWJD bracelets, beads, rosaries, etc. They may speak godly by using such phrases as praise the Lord, having a personal relationship with Jesus, hallelujah, etc. And their lives seem to exemplify godliness by leading a moral life and by doing good deeds. But 2 Timothy 3:5 tells us that they practice a form or semblance of godliness and not true godliness. Godliness is always a result of obeying the truth. Vine comments on several verses along this line and says in 1 Timothy 6:3, "The doctrine which is according to godliness signifies that which is consistent with godliness, in contrast to false teachings." In Titus 1:1, we are told that the truth which is according to godliness is that which is productive of godliness. In 1 Timothy 3:16, the mystery of godliness is godliness as embodied in and communicated through the truths of the faith concerning Christ. Thus one is godly and acts godly upon obedience of the truth. And where there is no obedience of the truth, there can be no true godliness or spirituality. A godly person is one who acts properly, reacts properly, and leaves no doubt in anyone's mind that he or she is a child of God. God is seen in this person from the inside out and from the outside in. No wonder godliness is a part of the spiritual combination that is important for Christians to cultivate. We simply cannot be faithful children of God without godliness. God-likeness certainly cannot include any harmful gossip, unclean or unholy conversation, disloyal or rebellious words. The very thoughts of the brain and the meditations of the heart should be conformed as nearly as possible to God's perfect standard. We should strive to see that meekness, sincerity, moderation, temperance, and truth are always manifest in us, and that our general character bears the divine likeness. "Be ye holy, for I am holy," is the injunction of our Father in heaven. Our goal should be to know Jesus Christ more clearly, more fully, to know him so as to be more like him, to love him better and demonstrate true godliness in all things. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Mm-hmm. And now, my time's up. Brother Brett.